In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen. Question 374. What should we do after Holy Communion? We should spend some time adoring our Lord, thanking Him, renewing our promises of love and obedience to Him, and asking Him blessings for ourselves and others. The 15 or 20 minutes that our Lord is in us bodily after communion is the best time of the whole day for prayer. So the question of thanksgiving is a really important one. If we are grateful, then that gratitude is perfect for receiving much grace. Much grace will be given according to the level of our gratitude. After the priest walks from the sanctuary and back into the sacristy, try not to be in a rush to leave. You will do much to edify your brethren in the parish, or visitors to the Mass, by your thanksgiving. It gives a great witness, and it will help you greatly to advance in the interior life and on your path to heaven. So stay some minutes, linger in His presence, and you will grow in grace and wisdom and knowledge. Question 375. What are the chief effects of worthy Holy Communion? They are, first, a closer union with our Lord and a more fervent love of God and our neighbor. Second, an increase of sanctifying grace. Third, preservation from mortal sin and the remission of venial sin. Fourth, the lessening of our inclinations to sin and the help to practice good works. Holy Communion is eating food for the soul. Our Lord said, "He who eats me, he also shall live because of me." But Christ is love. This food is a flaming food, flaming with the fire of divine love. This love unites us most closely with our blessed Lord, and it fills us with His fires of love for His Father and for all men, and makes our own fires of love strong with His. So these are four great reasons, excellent reasons, to receive frequently. And like the Thanksgiving after Mass, there is no time when prayer is as efficacious and holy than after you have received Holy Communion worthily. Question 376. When are we obliged to receive Holy Communion? We're obliged to receive Holy Communion during Easter time each year and when in danger of death. That is so very little. That means just once a year. As I've said before, the Church has very few laws, but the obligations and duties are many. Try not to do the minimum. Try not to go into heaven finding the cheapest way possible. If we take that attitude, it is likely we won't even make it to purgatory. Question 377. Why is it well to receive Holy Communion often and even daily? It is well to receive Holy Communion often, even daily, because this intimate union with Jesus Christ, the source of all holiness and the giver of all graces, is the greatest aid to a holy life. So we have some drawings here and some explanations. Our Lord is saying, everything is ready. Come to the marriage feast. And the marriage feast is to be understood in many ways, but first among them is Holy Mass, the wedding, if you will, between the bride, who is the Church, and the groom, who is Christ. We see here then, for weekly communion, if we appreciate what the communion really is, we will do our best to receive at least on Sundays. Our Lord must certainly be disappointed on Sundays when He sets out such a banquet and then sees so many people at Mass who do not come up to eat. They simply watch others eating and go away with hungry souls. Daily communion. Most people could go to communion daily if they really wanted to, though it might cost a little sacrifice. They could perhaps skip the late-night TV show at night or go to bed a little earlier, be able to get up for early Mass and Holy Communion. Daily communion is highly recommended by the Church. So there's a young man thinking, should I watch TV way late at night or get up early to go to Mass? It's a great little drawing there. The old-fashioned TV set, young boy watching a cowboy movie. Those who cannot go to daily communion, but would if they could, can make a spiritual communion. This means a real desire to go to communion when it is impossible to receive sacramentally. This desire obtains for us from our Lord the graces of communion in proportion to the strength of the desire. Let me read that again. This desire obtains for us from our Lord the graces of communion in proportion to the strength of the desire. So yes, being generous to God will cost us, but there is nothing we can do that he will not be 30, 60, and 100-fold more generous in return. So a spiritual communion, well, that is the best some people can do. Take a man who is divorced and then gets remarried. His state is a permanent state of sin. He's not excommunicated, but it is a habitual state of sin, and therefore he cannot receive communion. But he still has the obligation to go to Mass, so he could make a spiritual communion, but striving with all his might to unite his soul as best he can with our good Lord. Now, that union, of course, this is a bigger subject, and the union is going to be minimized by his state in life. But there can be some connection with God. He can try to do the best he can, and that's at least something. 378. How should we show our gratitude to our Lord for remaining always on our altars in the Holy Eucharist? We should show him gratitude by reverence in church, by visiting him often, by assisting every day at Mass when this is possible, by attending parish devotions, and by being present at the benediction of the Blessed Sacrament. There's a marvelous little cartoon there of a picture of a tabernacle, but Christ inside, waiting with divine patience and saying, "Come to me, all you who are labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest." Christ loves to have us visit him in the Blessed Sacrament, just as he loved to have people come to him on earth. He loves us so much that he wants us to come with our troubles so that he can help us. And even if we do not have any special troubles, he loves to have us come just to talk to him in our own words and spend some time with him. If we learn to listen to him with our hearts, to hear anything he wants us to hear, he will teach our hearts what to do to love him. Those who visit the Blessed Sacrament often and really learn to be silent for some time before Christ in the tabernacle find that their desire to be there gets stronger every day, and it becomes easier and easier to converse in love with him. For a visit to the Blessed Sacrament, just go in and adore him. Speak to him as you would to a good father, to a friend, and give him thanks for a little while. One great reason he became incarnate was to be the Blessed Sacrament, to pitch his tent with us and remain with us. He does so because of his intense love for us and his delight in his Father's creation. And to give him an entire hour of your time when there is no Mass and no obligation is fulfilled is a true example of generosity. As he said to the apostles before the agony in the garden, "Could you not spend 1 hour with me?" So we are at the end of lesson 28. And for the habit to acquire, try to see the evening before you go to Mass and Holy Communion as the remote preparation. The proximate preparation is when you get up, the first thing you do in the morning. That is a preparation for Mass. And then the immediate preparation is trying to come to Mass a little early and to pray. And for the prayers, to say, if you've not seen them before, look in your missal. Every good hand missal has a number of prayers that can be said before Mass. They are excellent, and there is a reason that they're put there, because they have nourished and helped so many people to prepare well for Mass. And then also there are prayers of thanksgiving to be said after Mass. Again, these were written by saints, and they have helped numberless souls.